2026 saw the Commonwealth Games come to Glasgow. It was a slightly smaller games with that smaller timescale as well, but there were more paramedals up for grabs than before. Now, David Clark, who's the chief executive of the British Paralympic Association, came to Glasgow to take in some of the sports. David, how was your visit?
Well, it was actually really, really good. First of all, it's brilliant as the body to support British and Northern Ireland Paralympic sport that we were able to support 8, 9, 10 nations and territories as part of it. So that was the first great thing. So almost everybody you could cheer for. And secondly, although the Games is talked about as a reimagined Games and a smaller scale, given the fact that it was organised by Glasgow pretty late in the day, what's been great is that 6 out of those 10 sports have had para programmes. And the sports presentation has been outstanding from the first sport I saw, which was powerlifting, right through to the cycling and athletics that I saw later in the games. Really equal billing. Of course, because of the number of classification categories in Paralympic sport, to have total and complete integration is very challenging within such a small program. But it does absolutely sit, I think, as part of the DNA of the Commonwealth movement now to have parasport as a core part of the programme, which is great.
In an ideal world, we'd love to have the Olympics and the Paralympics combined, but that would be huge. It would have to last a very long time to do that. So when the Commonwealth Games comes along, I think it's great for the athletes and for the spectators as well to see the para-athletes competing within the schedule, if you like, that there's no separation there. This year's event, you know, 18 months to put together something which takes years, maybe 6 years sometime. It was such a fantastic success, and the events that we've been along to reporting from, the crowds have been behind the athletes all the way.
People make Glasgow is the big catchphrase, isn't it, of the games, and I think it's right. And the other sort of unintended aspect that's happened is that athletes haven't been in a village this time. They've been staying in hotels around the city, and therefore they've been much more present and much more available to the public. And I think that's been a big factor in the city really getting behind the games, is that the athletes are so approachable, so real, so there in your face and in your everyday life. So I think that's been a major success. And of course, you know, no games could happen without amazing officials and everyone, and but also the volunteers. The sort of happy spirit of this place has been incredible. And, you know, I described it very much from the opening ceremony onwards as the joyous games, because performance sport is a serious business. And quite often the smiles can disappear from faces. And what's been lovely about these games is you've had the high performance, you've had the high performance moments, you've had some really incredible moments, but most of it, if not all of it, done with a smile. And I think that's really important that we remember that the biggest reason why we do sport is to enjoy it and to have fun. And then the other thing I'd quickly say is that there is a sizable activity gap between disabled people and non-disabled people, around about 2 times of those who do less than half an hour exercise a week. And so I think the other thing that I've got out of this is hearing from different people around the Commonwealth talking about how inclusion, and particularly disability inclusion, sits at the heart of their sport and health strategy. Because it really is important that your listeners and those with sight loss like myself, we do have equal access both in schools and wider society to physical education, to activity, to sport, to recreation, and just to have fun. And I think I've heard that message loud and clear here too. So alongside the high performance sport, which as I say has been joyous, there's also this grassroots message, which is very much about driving up participation and encouraging people to enjoy sport.
It is about getting more disabled people, I think for me anyway, into sport from a school age, you know, whether it's PE, having that more integrated as well, whether it's clubs, football grounds, whatever, you know, having more accessible classes. So, you know, you go to the gym, you see the disabled powerlifters, you know, you go to the track, there's, you know, guys on tandems flying around there as well. It's not, oh, here's the Paralympics, here's the Commonwealth Games, let's watch some of these elite athletes with disabilities. You know, you really want this to just be an everyday thing, if you like.
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty of the programme within the Commonwealth Games, the fact that there's no kind of special attention in a sense. It just, you roll from one event to the next and you suddenly have tandems rather than single bikes going around, sort of thing. It rolls from one to the next and it's of equal value. It's of equal value on the medal table. It's a really positive way of doing it. And look, every program has limitations, right? So there's always going to be athlete limitations. There's always going to be scope limitations in terms of what categories are included and what sports are included. But the intention, I think, behind it all is to have a fully integrated games, which basically means that that appeals to people. People get role models out of that. It means that someone who may not have even known about a sporting opportunity existing now has that possibility. I was sat at the powerlifting the other day, and I was sat next to a lady who was asking about where she could take it up, and looking for a club in the Newcastle area. And I just thought, wow, I've literally just seen sports development in action there, and it was caused by seeing people like her getting involved in that particular sport and her thinking, you know what, I could do that. But we also need to consider legislation also is important in ensuring that that right to be involved in sport, whether it's in a school environment, a club environment, that's a right. You know, it's not something we're asking for. It's not a gift. It should be a right, and we need to make sure that's the case.
For spectators as well, there was audio description at lots of these events. So for those who are blind or partially sighted, again, that audio description bringing what was happening on the, you know, the track, the bowling green, the gym, whatever, bringing it to life.
With respect, following a bowling match as a blind person is a bit of a tough call, isn't it? You've been there, Al. I'm sure you've, you know, it's a bit
It's
of
a
a
tough
difficult
one.
one. Yeah. But to have that, and also, you know, in the Paralympics, we saw some really exciting technology where it was possible to follow the goal ball and the basket and the wheelchair basketball by using a device that had a little counter on it with a magnet that kind of followed the ball around the court. So you could picture it every moment where it was. So we're seeing this innovation all the time. But the other thing I've really enjoyed here, and I used it at the Athletics last night, is I didn't use the audio commentary as it happens, although it is brilliant. But actually, the commentary in the sort of the middle of the Athletics track was so good and so descriptive that I was able to use that. So I think it's a really interesting point because, you know, that I will always advocate for audio description because it has another layer to it in terms of what the information we're after and what it gives us. But it's also good to just have that option to sit tight and hear what's going on in the venue. And I think the basketball was really good at that this time around. The 3x3 basketball, wheelchair and standing, you know, ongoing commentary as the game was progressing. And it must be quite amusing for the players on the pitch to hear someone describing how well they think they're playing. But no, I found the whole thing really good. And the other thing, Al, has been just the approach to me as a disabled person. Maybe I've been lucky, but maybe it's just what's happening all around, which is that I don't feel in any way that I've been treated differently. I just think I've had my needs catered for by the volunteers and all the people arranging this. And I think that comes from the top. The president of the Commonwealth Games Federation, Donald Rukari, got it right at the very start of the games when he spoke at the opening ceremony, when he talked about this being a fully inclusive global event. And I think he's achieved it. And thanks to the people of Glasgow and those who make decisions in Glasgow who've made it happen.
It has been a fabulous event, some great medal-winning performances, personal bests being broken, you know, careers growing, if not starting as well. So the Commonwealth Games are over. Where is it for you next in terms of the British Paralympic Association?
Well, first of all, it's been great to see our athletes across all of the teams represented across the UK participating, and we have seen some great performances. Neil Fahey win his gold medal in front of his home crowd, which I thought was a really lovely moment. Similarly, in the powerlifting with Finlay also from you know from Scotland doing a great job. So there's been lots of that kind of stuff going on. But for us now, it's about taking those performances that we've seen right across the piece. And then we've got some European championships coming up across various sports as the year goes on. And that really will start to sort of set the scene for where we are in terms of the LA cycle. We've got our first team leader trip out to LA in October. And then we will really start to progress our footprint out there because our job as Paralympics GB is to create the right environment, both in terms of traveling to a games and at the games. And even well before that, to be honest, through kitting out and through the team development work that we do, to make sure that when we arrive at a Paralympics venue, you know, we really understand the environment. We have a wonderful multi-sport team dynamic, and we're ready for the field of play. And our job in a nutshell is to ensure those athletes have the best opportunity to perform when it matters, where it matters, on the day. So we're really focused on that, but we can't do that without the support of all the governing bodies of sport and those who run the world-class programs. And I'm so excited about LA because, as you know, I think it's the third time LA run the games. It's the first time they will have done the Paralympics. They passed up on the opportunity in 1984, and I think that makes them all the more determined to sort of to really excel on this occasion. And I couldn't be more excited about it.
Well, looking forward to Ellie, no doubt, and great to hear you enjoyed the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow. We'll be chatting again soon, David, but thanks for joining us on RIB Connect Radio.
Pleasure. Thank you.